Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to another episode of
A BJJ Marriage, where we talk about our lives as a married jiu-jitsu couple. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of A BJJ Marriage with your hosts, Brittany and Nick Lee. Welcome.
Yep, that's me.
Like he said, or he was trying to say, we're on episode 64, so thanks for listening.
Join us for another great chat.
Sorry, we've been a little kind of all over the place for the last couple weeks. We've been doing one every other week at this point, but hopefully starting next week, we'll be back on schedule to get back on a normal routine.
Yeah, what's been keeping us busy this year? Because we made a podcast called The BJJ Marriage, right? So that means all of our friends that are getting married decided to put Brittany in their wedding.
Yeah. The whole one so far.
The one so far, but three weddings in 1 year. Tell us what that's like.
What do you mean, what is it like? It's busy. It's expensive.
Yes, because besides the wedding days, we've got to plan for rehearsal days. Oh, and we got to plan for bachelor and bachelorette days.
Yeah.
And people want to go places and stuff for that, which is totally fine.
Showers.
Yes. But that definitely impacts our jiu-jitsu.
Quite a bit, actually, this year specifically.
Yes.
Like, it's gotten in the way. Not saying that we're not excited for these weddings, because we definitely are. They're three of my closest people in my life, which is why I'm in all three of them. But definitely has been hindering my training a little bit. Not going to lie.
Yes. And I have to keep reminding us that it's okay. We'll be able to train again. These people will never get married again.
Yeah. But no, it was fun. So last weekend, we did miss our episode, which we kind of warned you about the week before. We knew that we wouldn't have time for it, but we were going to try to at least make time, but it never ended up happening. So we were actually in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
In a little tiny farm town called Canton. Little Canton, Pennsylvania.
They call it Pennsyltucky.
That's right.
Well, yes. At least the jiu-jitsu gym I went to, because I wasn't part of the bachelorette party. And I went to open mat before the wedding.
Yeah, he got to train twice in Pennsylvania, and I got to do zero. Actually, I did get to train once, but we can get to that.
I don't remember.
At the bachelorette party.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so Nick actually, so I was in the wedding. It was my cousin, and he was not in the wedding because we actually didn't know the groom very well. We've met him a couple times, handful of times throughout the years, just because we've never lived in the same state. So anyway, doesn't really matter. Nick wasn't in the wedding and I was. So that meant that I was going to be very busy, you know, going to the bachelorette party, the rehearsal, and then also like getting ready the day of the wedding. Whereas he just kind of got to hang out in the Airbnb with the dogs. And then my dad when he showed up.
But I felt like a child.
He was like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. What do I do with my hands?
Yeah. But yeah, basically, we got there last week, Wednesday, and just kind of hung out in the Airbnb that night and just chilled. We finished Ozark finally, which we were very behind on. So if you watch Ozark, it was a great show, and we are finally caught up.
Yeah.
And
it ended very abruptly.
Yes. That's what people said, though. Mm. We were warned about that. But anyway. So he decided to look up what gyms were in the area.
Yes.
Because the rest of my family wasn't going to be in town until Friday. But yep. I had stuff to do on Thursday with the bride. So he had to figure out like what to do. So he wasn't just sitting in an Airbnb in the middle of Pennsylvania all day.
That's right. So I looked up jiu-jitsu in Williamsport is where we stayed. And I found this school of self-defense that does jiu-jitsu twice a week, and one of the days happened to be on Thursday, and it was a gi day, and I was like, hell yeah, I'm going. And I went there, and I met this cool dude that was teaching classes. His name is Scotty Diggs, I believe.
I wasn't there. I don't know.
Yep. And he is just about to open up his own space called 570 Jiu-Jitsu in Pennsylvania, right outside of Williamsport.
Why
in
that same 570? Area.
I don't know. I think that's an area code. Is my guess.
Okay. I was wondering if that's how many times you spin, like 360, and then you just keep going, and it might be 570. Maybe there's another degree that we're just not aware of.
No, that would be 540. It's called.
Okay. Well, that's what I said. Maybe he wanted 570.
It goes 180, 360, 540, 720, 1080.
Okay.
Well, in case you're wondering.
Cool. That's what I was wondering. Maybe he wants to be different.
Maybe. I should do a 1080 jiu-jitsu.
I don't think you can.
You've never seen me backstep 3 times in a row?
Oh, you mean like in your training? I thought you meant open a gym. I was like, I don't think you can do that. But.
Anyways, but yeah, so Scotty was awesome. He was a brown belt. He taught some awesome Gracie jiu-jitsu, some closed guard and a triangle.
Is he a Gracie guy?
Defense stuff. I believe so, yes. Okay. I don't remember who he trains under, but he was a really cool dude. He had a good bunch of white and blue belts, and I got to roll with them, get a workout in, experience the like humid 80 degree Pennsylvania jiu-jitsu lifestyle with no air conditioning. That was fantastic.
It's like neutral ground.
It was fun. But yeah, I met them, and then they invited me and you and Brent, because I told them that we were all staying together. I was like, yeah, that's me. My wife's a blue belt. My father-in-law's a black belt. We're all in town. And they were like, you should come to open mat on Saturday. And I was like, I'm going to try to get them all to come. Well, you were busy or whatever.
Busy.
But
the morning of the wedding, not busy at all.
Yep. But I got Brent to come to open mat. It was a no-gi open mat. And there was a few fun roles there. Scotty and I had some great roles there again. Brent had a hurt knee, so he's just like moving, playing jiu-jitsu. But he did get to show a few things. He got to describe his lava concept and things like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, he didn't teach things, but he would roll with people. And he would be like, do you want to roll? Or do you want me to show you something? And they'd be like, you can show me that.
Well, okay, yeah, you teach me.
Yeah. So he got to do a bunch of that. Which was good. It was a good way for us to spend time, not just sit in the Airbnb and play Guitar Hero for hours.
That's what you did otherwise.
That's what I did when I wasn't at the gym.
Yeah.
But yeah, we met a cool dude. Like I said, Scott Diggs. I'll tag them and 570 Jiu-Jitsu in the comments.
Because, you know, so many people are going to be at Williamsport.
Well, you know, he said that he was the highest rank in like 70 miles, a 70-mile radius as a brown belt.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's awesome for him. And whatever exposure we can help them with, I'm happy to help him out.
Where did he train? Where did he get promoted under? Like, who's promoting him?
Yeah, I don't remember. But somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Cool.
What are the big name towns in Pennsylvania besides Pittsburgh and
Philly? Like, those are the two biggest ones, but they're 4 hours away from.
Yeah, it was 2 hours. Scranton. Somewhere in Scranton. Yes.
Oh, so the office. Okay. That makes sense. So he has to go 2 hours, or do they come to him to promote him?
I think they do a little bit of both.
Okay.
Because I've seen some pictures with a 2-stripe black belt at that gym that I was at on the internet doing promotions and stuff.
Cool. So you got to go to open. Why didn't Jada go?
I don't know.
Because Jada was also there. So it was my cousin getting married. So, like, my whole family was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like Jada was hanging out with her cousin. She was sleeping, I'm pretty sure. Right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. What a brat.
Yeah. Who knows why she didn't come. But if we didn't come into this wedding, and if we didn't do this open mat and stuff, we would have been at the Wisconsin Dells competition that happened over this last weekend. So that's kind of the point of the wedding story.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a couple of our team members compete at Wisconsin Dells Grappling Industries over the weekend. Mm-hmm. It was funny because I kept saying to everyone, because one of my favorite training partners, shout out Karen Barron. I love saying her name because it rhymes.
Karen Barron.
It's her married name, so she wasn't born with that, guys. But I love rolling with Karen. I love training with Karen. She's kind of like my adopted white belt, as Steve likes to say.
Yeah.
Steve always tells me that I adopted her as a white belt. And
you should do that as a blue. You should adopt a white belt always.
I have pretty much all the girls adopted at this point.
Good for you.
Mostly Sarah, or I'm sorry, not Sarah. Sam, Karen, and Susie are probably my three adopted white belts.
I have a few white belts.
Yeah,
I have like a gaggle of white belts.
Yeah, you do. They're kind of turning into an army too.
Yes.
But anyway, so I was really upset that I couldn't be there for Karen's first competition because it was her first one ever. And like, I feel like, even though I don't train with her at 6 a.m., I feel like I've done a lot to help coach her to get to where she wanted to be.
And help her prepare.
Yeah. And so it was just really sad for me to not be able to be there, not only as like a friend, but as also as like a coach.
And a support system.
Yeah. So I told her, I was like, don't worry, I'll just be standing in line at the wedding and, like, FaceTiming you, just watching and looking and seeing what's happening.
Posture up!
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Keep going. You can say I do. Just like, Karen, don't do that!
Just get up!
So, yeah, it was a little disheartening, but, I mean, the wedding was fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, we had a great time. We can go into a lot more detail about the wedding, but that's not what this podcast is about.
Yeah, I got your... How old's Manga?
70...
I got her 85-year-old grandma, 76-year-old grandma out on the dance floor, and we danced to a couple songs, and she had a great time. It was awesome to see your grandma that happy.
Yes, she is normally a really cranky old woman.
Yeah, but for some reason, she likes me.
Anyone who knows her knows that she's not the happiest person alive. And it was funny because I was telling a couple of the people in the wedding party who have known her, I was just like, well, she's happy now. And they're like, yeah, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, she's really good now. She's actually in a good mood. And they were like, yeah, okay, Brittany, whatever. So if that doesn't say anything, that kind of gives you a recap of the last 25 years of my life with her.
Yes.
But she's been in a great mood lately.
Oh, she's great. We love Bunga.
And Nick got her out on the dance floor. So that was probably the coolest moment for a lot of us, I think. Yeah. I think most of the family said one of their favorite parts, besides watching Gabrielle get married, was to see Munga out on the dance floor.
I'll get anybody to dance. I've made her dance before.
Mm-hmm.
I got her cousin who was like afraid of dancing because last time he said, I don't want to dance. Last time my mom recorded it and put it on Facebook.
That's right. He did say that.
And I was like, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. But the cool thing too is that so, like I said, it was my whole family there, and one of the members of our family is actually the main reason that we are sitting here today.
Yes.
So.
And he taught me some stuff on the outside of the lake, on the grass.
Did he really?
Yeah.
When?
When you were calling me to help with something, and somebody was like, Brittany needs you right now, and I was in Mike's X-Guard. He was showing me calf slicers, and I was like, okay, hold on.
That's funny.
Yes.
Yeah, I needed to get the dogs out of the car.
Oh, yeah. That's right. But I was doing jiu-jitsu, so.
But anyway, so shout out to my uncle. I guess we can call him Professor Michael Contreras. He is a...
Well, he's supposed to be a black belt.
He's technically a black belt, guys. But he still wears his
brown belt.
He doesn't want the black belt.
He wants a black belt from a specific... Professor, yeah. Rodrigo Vaki,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, yes. And he was given a black belt, but he denied it because he didn't feel like it was right. He didn't feel like it was meant for him, given to him by the person that it was. So he's still a brown belt, but he's been doing jiu-jitsu for probably 25 years now.
Yes.
Maybe even longer.
Yes, longer than Brenton.
Yeah, he's actually the one that got Brenton into jiu-jitsu.
When Brent was a high school wrestler... Or just coming out of high school, Uncle Mike was he uncle at that point? Or just dating? I have no idea.
I think just dating.
But he was dating Brent's sister, and he was a BJJ blue belt at that point.
And imagine 20, okay, so this was probably 22 years ago now. So yes. 21 or 22 years ago, a blue belt was like a rare commodity.
Yes. And as a wrestler, nobody can hold you down, right? So... Mike ended up doing a helicopter armbar sweep. And at that point, Brent was like, I need to go learn jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
And then 20-some years later, here we are.
Yep. Yep. So I think he started in Chicago. Mike Contreras, he started, I don't know, like his whole backstory, but I know he was living in Chicago when him and my aunt met. Mm. And then he continued training under there. And he's been training for a long time, but... He's had 8 kids in that time period. So anyone who has even one child probably understands that having 8 really, really is a time sucker. So
it's just a different level of commitment.
Yeah. So, but I mean, throughout his 8 kids, he has never given up his love for the sport and the art. I should say the art because I don't think he really treats it as a sport too much, more so as an art. But he has his own school now.
Called 4-Point Base.
Yep. It's in Ohio that he told us. That he's planning on having a very special guest teach a seminar, hopefully in the near future.
Yeah, we'll see it. He's got a dream seminar that he's trying to set up, so that's cool. And I would like to get him on this podcast one day.
Yeah, we were thinking about getting him on last Sunday, but it just never ended up happening.
Yeah, I jumped in a lake instead.
Yeah. But, yeah, so he is a very awesome person. Everyone who knows Mike loves Mike, and he's got fantastic jujitsu. He's got a lot of history and a lot of stories to tell you. I know we were cleaning out my grandma's house a couple months ago, and Nick ended up coming across a photo, and he was like,
it was just a picture on the wall.
Yeah, he was like, look, it's your Uncle Mike and Hickson.
Yeah, I was like, that's Hickson Gracie and Uncle Mike on the wall.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That's cool.
So, yeah. But that was really cool to see him, and Nick and Mike obviously talked about jiu-jitsu a lot. Like, we're in church, and they're literally talking about it in the seats. Everyone's yeah. praying up front, and Mike's like, yeah, this ex joke, and blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Sounds like us. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But overall, the wedding was fantastic, super fun, yeah. great success. Nothing really, well, there's only one thing that went wrong, but we're not going to talk about it.
Oh.
Because we made it work, fixed it all up, so.
I didn't know it was open bar, I would have drank a lot more. And happy hour.
Mm. I didn't know it was open bar either. She didn't even know it was open bar, I don't think.
Mm.
But that's sangria right. was good. So, yeah. Anyway, here we are. I think
we survived.
16 minutes later, we can now talk about what we actually want to talk about. But
yeah, but I don't know.
That was the whole point, right? Is we're just saying that we're very busy and we've got yes. a lot of weddings coming up. Our next one is in September. That'll be over Labor Day weekend. That's my aunt and uncle. They're mm-hmm. getting married officially. They've been together for like 15 years, but they're finally getting married.
Yeah, but we got a bachelorette party going on in July.
End of July.
Which is an event here also.
Yep.
That's the submission cage grappling tournament or yeah. fights that I would have signed up for.
I know. That's what Bon Tempo's doing?
That's what Bon Tempo's doing, yeah.
So we're going to miss our dear little Bon Tempo's fight because we're going to be in Green Bay that weekend. So we'll probably also not have a podcast that weekend. So yeah, that one's kind of in the way of that, which I can say because they don't listen to this, so that's okay.
There's a tournament. Oh yeah, Labor Day weekend. There's Wisconsin Dells Grappling Industries. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at a wedding.
Yep. And then my best friend is getting married in November.
No, my best friend's getting married in November.
Our best friends are getting married in November. We're both in that one. And they're getting married on the day that Master Pedro Sauer is supposed to be in town.
Yeah. So. we'll see. We'll probably have them move the wedding for that one.
Oh my God. It's just been nonstop. Like, I just feel like everything that we have planned, more people are just like, jiu-jitsu! And I'm like, plans, weddings. Like, we have too much going on.
Well, yeah, there's also a Gentle Art Lifestyle Camp mm-hmm. over Labor Day weekend mm-hmm. that we're...
Also can't go to.
I'm going to go, like, a day... Or I hate something. You.
I really hate you.
Why?
I'm not fair.
Maybe you shouldn't be so damn popular.
You know what I've been telling people? Because we've been getting asked the question a lot if we're having kids. Especially like at my new job. Like people are trying to get to know me and they see my age. They see I'm significantly younger than a lot of other people that are there. And they are just like, oh, you have a husband. Like, do you guys have kids? No. Are you guys planning on having kids? Why would you ask that? Why would you get in my space like that? But, and then...
why is that a common question?
I don't know. I'm like, you would think that this day and age, like, with all the issues that women have with actually, like, getting pregnant because of things that I don't want to talk about, it's just not something that you really ask people. But anyway, so we've been asked if we are going to have kids soon, and my answer to a lot of people is, no. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because then I can't train. And I'm like, do you know how unfair it is that if I get pregnant, I have to take, like, 6 months off, but Nick can just train? Like, that is some BS, okay?
Hey, I put in a lot of work to get you pregnant, okay?
Bull. That's also BS. And I'm not pregnant. Dad, I promise I'm not pregnant.
You have a little broccoli running around, too. Broccoli. No,
stop it. I don't even think we've ever talked about that, because we don't really talk about kids.
No.
He wants to name our son Brock. And so then it's Brock.
And his middle name will be Cole.
Yeah.
So no matter what, his name is Broccoli or Broccoli. It's fantastic.
Well, in graduations, they say the middle name.
Exactly.
So they walk across the stage, Broccoli.
This is a long-term joke.
No.
Okay, so.
He also wants a Jet and a Bruce.
Jet Lee, isn't it? Yeah. Bruce Lee would be pretty cool. Sara Lee's Bread Company. I really want a Seriously, though.
Yeah, some people have talked about a Serious.
Like, seriously.
So I've been actually joking about that for a few years now, too, where I'm just like, well, if we ever have a kid, we have to make sure it's not an adverb.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway.
So yeah, we got the camp coming up that I'm going to do a little bit of, that camp, in Labor Day weekend, Gentle Art Lifestyle. That one's at Primal, so.
If there's a morning session, I could probably go.
Yeah, I think it's Friday through Sunday.
Yeah, we can talk Monday. About that when it gets a little closer.
Yeah. Anyways.
What else do we have going on?
There's like a lot of seminars and stuff coming up. We got Tim Gillette coming from Denver.
Yes. We also have something going on.
I'm
going
to try to get him on the podcast.
I think we also have something going on that weekend.
Well, you know, we can move on from there.
Huh. I don't remember. But, so yeah, Tim Gillette from Denver is coming in on July 23rd. And then day after that, we're going to the beach.
Oh, yeah, to do a open mat beach party.
Yes. Oh, we got prom coming up. We have a belt ceremony. We have a lot of stuff happening. Like, yesterday, we took the entire day to just, like, do nothing and just chill in bed and just literally.
We did. That was
like,
nice.
I mean, it was a rainy day anyway, so it was kind of nice that I didn't feel guilty for not being outside. But, like, we literally just watched TV all night long.
I play video games.
We never do that. Like, ever. We're always just as busy as we're talking about right now. So it was super nice because then today it starts all over again. We have a lot of plans today and tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday and Saturday. We're trying to go camping this weekend.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
We have to look for a site.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so talk about events a little bit more. So we have prom coming up on June 17th. If you are anywhere in the Milwaukee area, you are invited. It is going to be an open mat to everyone. We're super excited about it because the theme this year, we always do a theme. And this is the third year. So the first year we did 80s theme. So girls like crimped their hair. And we bought these like ridiculous outfits. And the second year it was a Hawaiian theme.
Oh, yeah.
So we did like coconut bras and grass skirts and luau's. And it was really cool. And then after the luau, so this is the third year, we're doing a color war. So everyone's going to go buy, like, the most ridiculous outfits that they can find in the color of their rank.
I want to buy a purple suit.
Good luck.
That's a good idea.
Good luck. So, yeah, we're actually going to Goodwill today to go search around for a little bit. But I'm going to get some probably crazy blue dress and stockings and stuff, and I'm excited.
I'm supposed to dress up as... Lala? No. Who's the purple one? Poe?
Tinky Winky.
Tinky Winky. That's who I'm supposed to be.
Here go the Teletubbies again. Yes.
I got to find a Tinky Winky costume in the next 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
for my purple belt.
Yep. There's a lot of purple belts. We have a sea of purple now. I feel like we have a lot more purple than we do blue. Because all of our blue turned into purple. There's that many blue belts. There's like maybe 10 of us. That's it. And then we probably have like 15 purple.
Really?
I think so. Just
okay.
Like Adam and but yeah, so then we have them. We don't have many brown belts though. We have like
I'm gonna fix that soon.
Jason Bergman. Dave is pretty close to brown at this point.
Yes, Dave is close to brown. Mike Davis.
Oh yeah, Mike Davis.
But that's about it. Brett.
Brett doesn't count.
Yeah.
Brett's like Mike.
Yeah. Anyways. So, yeah, lots of wedding stuff coming up, which is exciting. And it does fit the theme of the podcast.
Yes. But then going off of Color Whore, so 3 days later, we have a belt ceremony.
Oh, yes.
And I'm super stoked about it because one of our favorite training partners, who happens to be the husband of Karen Barron, is Steve Barron, is getting his blue belt, and
yes.
I am so freaking stoked.
Yesterday, I, when we were rolling, I grabbed him, and I was like, hey, I see your name on the board there. What does that mean? He was like, what? My glasses are on. I can't see. I was like, it says belt ceremony, Steve. And he was like, oh, shit. I was like, what are you going to teach? He was like, oh, shit.
I'm so excited. He has had that coming for a long time. He is one of my favorite roles. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about Steve plenty of times. He's been on this podcast before with Karen, and it's just, he's an awesome human being. And so
he's awesome.
Everyone is more than happy for him. And then on top of him, we also have Ian, who is getting his green belt.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to be super exciting.
Woo!
Yeah, he's not quite blue belt yet, but he was given the opportunity to choose whether he wanted to have a green belt and be Shark Tanked with this belt ceremony, or if he wanted to wait a year for his blue belt. He, of course, wanted to, like, experience the Shark Tank. So,
yeah,
he's doing that with his green belt, and that's also very well deserved. He's a very athletic and talented kid.
He's smart, yeah, but he's focused on the wrong things, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I just want to learn leg locks. Yeah. Like, bro.
We'll get him there. He'll be fine.
Bro, but pass the guard first. Okay. Yeah. Then worry about leg locks.
Then we are going to be adding to our brown belts because Javi is also turning from purple to brown.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be super fun too. Javi's been a purple belt forever, so it's a long time coming for him. He's a great fun role too. He's also our dirty wrist locker of the gym. And he's yep, an awesome fun role too. So
we're all super fun.
Very stoked for this.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it'll be a great day. So if anyone wants to come out and Shark Tank our three
promoters.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
That's Monday, June 20th. And that's also Juneteenth, so you should be off of work if you're in, like, the office world. So, cool.
Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm.
African-American holiday?
Yeah, it's the, like, slavery. Like, the emancipation.
Abolishment
something of slavery? Something like that, yeah. It just became a federal holiday, like, last year.
Okay.
And so this is the first year, I think, that we're actually off of work for it. Because I think it fell on a Saturday. And then they made it a federal holiday last year, and then this year it's on a Sunday, so they're doing the day after.
Okay.
So I'm off that day. We also have lunch plans that day, too.
Okay.
Yeah, with the Chippettis. Okay. Told you, we're always busy.
I love it.
Yesterday was super nice to just chill, but...
I love life and everything. I love it all.
Mm-hmm. But,
this is not fake positivity, by the way. Anyways...
So yeah, we have a lot of stuff coming up. We'll be posting all of the events on our website. We also have a couple new recipes on the website. We have been really slacking on those newsletters, and I'm sorry. We just have been too busy.
Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, we're just, you know, playing out stuff, playing around.
Yeah.
Seeing what sticks, seeing what we can work on, seeing how we can improve, seeing how we can build a good community.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we don't want to build anything if it's not providing, like, value.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Agree. So, yeah, we originally planned on sending out a weekly newsletter, just, like, kind of with updates about what's going on, the events coming up, maybe, like, a recipe of the week, things like that. We did it for, like, 3 weeks or so, but then life just kind of got in the way, and those newsletters are time-consuming, and I just didn't make the time for it, so they've been a little lacking, but they're not gone. So if you are interested in a little newsletter, it takes about 3 minutes, not even, to read. We can send you one. Just go on our website and subscribe.
Yeah, it's also in the description of the podcast.
Cool. Glad you do that.
Yes.
But I'm making an online cookbook, which we also talked about at the wedding with someone.
We did, yes.
Shout out to Brian Bellhumer. I know no one on this podcast knows who he is, but he is a very longtime family friend of ours. My family, not us.
I've never met him until last Saturday.
Yeah, you were at the table with him. He is my uncle's, like, best friend of 30 years or so, and apparently he is also thinking about starting a cookbook, or is working on one, and Nick decided to...
Selling, like, spices.
That's right, what it was.
Something like that.
Yep. But yeah, then Nick ended up telling him that I'm also working on a cookbook. It's an online cookbook right now. It's nothing, like, super set in stone. Again, that's time-consuming, so...
Yeah, we're doing, like, a recipe a week, and the goal is to... provide healthy or fun recipes that help us prepare for competition.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Which I'm competing July 9th, right?
Yes.
Are you doing it?
I think so.
Oh.
I haven't signed up yet. Actually, so I looked at the divisions like 2 days ago just because I wanted to see if anyone was signed up from Open Guard.
Oh.
And
not many people are signed up yet.
No, there's not many at all. There was only one person in not even my division. She was in like the either 155 or 165. She was above, like, way above me. And
blue belt?
Yeah. And she was the only one, Ingi and Nogi. Yep.
So the only purple belt I saw signed up was 135 pounds.
Okay.
And I was like, hope I don't have to fight against a 135-pound purple belt.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the Chicago ones are always smaller.
They are.
Than the Wisconsin Dells ones.
They definitely are.
But the person... the person who was signed up for that, she is from, like, the Schaumburg area. Schaumburg, Illinois. So it's someone that I would have no idea who it is, which I like. Because I don't want to go against my friends.
Right.
So, I don't know. I am definitely talking about signing up. I'm still thinking about signing up. It's on my mind. My knees are really, really, really bad right now. So I'm trying to debate if I can. But it is the goal. Because
I'm going to do it.
I can't do September.
Yeah. I don't care if you're doing it. I'm doing it.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I don't care if I fight a 200-pound, 135-pound. Whatever. I'm doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. So, what we wanted to talk about, besides wedding stuff and scheduling stuff and why our episodes have been kind of intermittent this year. Last year, we only missed like 1 or 2 weeks. This year, we already passed that. But, you know, life happens. Jiu-jitsu's fun. We can talk about it all the time. And, yeah, anyways. What we were going to do today is a little question and answer on, like, our favorite stuff, our favorite moves, our favorite guards, our favorite submissions, and kind of how we've developed our styles in jiu-jitsu. And it's funny because I have a style, she has a style, they're similar, they're not the same, but everybody always asks her if she trains with me because they feel like our style is the same.
Which is funny because we don't.
Right.
Like, we really don't train together that much. We don't drill together. Like, hardly ever. I would say maybe once a month we drill together. Maybe. Right. Otherwise, I'm normally going with a girl, or you're going with a white belt, or something like that. Like, we don't train together. And, like, I would say we only roll together, like, twice a week.
Not often.
Yeah. I would say, like, if we get to actually roll together every night, like, on the training set, like, after a class or something, it's just, like, the one time for, like, the 3 to 5 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And that's it. And, like, sometimes we don't even roll together because we just, I don't know, we're, like, we see each other all the time. We should go roll with other people.
Some days we get really creative and roll in the basement here, but that's not that common.
Yeah. So it's always funny to me when people ask, like, if we train together all the time because we have similar styles. And I'm like, we really don't, actually.
The only thing we do.
Do.
Is talk about jiu-jitsu with each other. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's her asking questions and then me helping her with what I would do. So there's probably that. And then the other thing is me talking about what I'm working on in general. And I'm sure some of those concepts transfer from when we're just talking.
Yeah. I would say the other thing too, which I guess kind of translates into it, is like Sunday mornings. It seems to be like a normal Sunday morning thing, except not today. Where we will just wake up and we'll start talking about jiu-jitsu, and then I'll just, like, do it on him. Like, I'll just grab his arm, or I'll just, like, jump on top of him and start mounting him, or, like, something like that. Okay.
Phrasing. But, like,
but, yeah, we end up, like, always waking up, talking about jiu-jitsu, and then end up doing jiu-jitsu. And, like, that seems to be a normal Sunday morning thing for us. So, I guess...
So, there's that.
I guess that counts as...
Training? Yeah.
But like you said, it's like more like, oh, well, like, because yesterday, or no, normally Saturdays are open mat, so mm-hmm. I'm still thinking about open mat, which I didn't get to go to this week, but I'm just always waking up and I'm like, oh, I was like so close to this, or like, I really had this, or I was really excited about this, let me show you what I did, like that kind of thing, and then it just blossoms.
So that's kind of how we train together, but we don't necessarily train together. Mm-hmm. Yes. But let's dive into it. What is your favorite submission?
What do you think?
I think it's toe holds.
I love how you tried to come up with the most ridiculous thing that you could. Because everyone knows that I don't like foot stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone who knows me, who likes to roll with me, who like has trained with me, knows I won't go for your legs, except for a knee bar. And I love arm bars.
Yes.
Like, I will probably try to arm bar you and more than likely succeed.
Arm bars from everywhere.
Yes.
I still need to get you that Lachlan Giles arm bar anthology.
So much.
You would be so dangerous if you watched that Anyways.
You wait. I almost got you.
You did almost get me. On
Wednesday. You said, what, 95% locked in? You were 95%. Just being stubborn.
Yes.
You treated it like a competition.
I was like, oh, this is bad.
If we were just training in the gym, you would have tapped. But you were like, no, it's competition. I gotta get out of this right now.
I will not let her tap me out again.
That was like the funniest thing too, because I was not even like setting it up very well.
Oh no, that was a quick one.
Yeah, it was like, oh, arm.
It was an in-transition arm bar. Yeah. It was fantastically set up and executed. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got out of it, honestly.
It was kind of a blur. I don't really know what happened. Yeah.
I think that you didn't commit to breaking my arm, and that's the only reason I got out of it. Hmm.
Like, if I was in competition mode, I would have.
Yeah. I feel like that's what would have happened.
Yeah.
And if I would have not also been in, like, competition mode defense, I probably would have tapped.
Yeah. But anyway.
But you're my wife.
So, yeah. Armbar is my absolute favorite. I will search for them, set them up, do them from anywhere. I don't really care where. I actually, my least favorite spot is to do them from guard because people are so good at defending it from guard. Mm-hmm. It's obviously like the easiest to drill from guard, but people just know how to defend it too well. I can pull it off sometimes, but it's not a high succession rate for me. So I would say the top place that I get it, actually, you know what?
You do it from guard.
I do it from guard most.
But you do it backwards.
But I do it different. And you're not even thinking of the right way that I do it because I've changed it in the last couple months. So think about
look at her face talking about arm bars.
I get so nerdy about it. Like, I love it. So when you learn an arm bar as a white belt and as you're just like starting to learn about jiu-jitsu and submissions, I mean, triangle and arm bar are probably two, and Americanos are like the three top submissions that white belts learn. So I remember.
I Americanoed everyone this week.
I remember. When I was first starting, it was probably like my first couple months, probably 3 to 6 months into jiu-jitsu, and people would be rolling with me and they would just hand me their arm. And I honestly like would look right past it because it would never like translate with me that I need to grab that arm.
Yeah.
I remember Bontempo specifically like giving me his arm and I would go and do something completely different. And he would be like, why didn't you take my arm? I'm like, I didn't see it. He's like, I put it right in front of you. I'm like, but what are you talking about? Like, I don't see them. And I remember being so frustrated.
Because I remember.
I was like, I don't see arm bars. Like, I just don't get how people.
Like the scissor sweep?
Yes. So it made no sense to me how people did arm bars because I was like, how do you just attack them? Like, I don't understand. And now I'm doing them without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole transition. But basically, when you learn to do an arm bar, you get the arm across your center line, put your foot on their hip, you turn and go up in their armpit, and then grab the arm, right? Like, everyone knows that's the basic arm bar from guard. Well, when I was learning arm bars, and I was so frustrated with them, and I didn't understand how they were working, I always went the wrong way. So I always ended up going, instead of the side with the foot on the hip and turning the opposite way, I'd go that way with the foot on the hip. And
like omoplata angle.
Yeah, like setting up for an omoplata, but I'd be trying to go for an armbar. And I was getting so mad because it was never working. And I was like, what is happening? Like, why can I not do it? So I started changing it so that it would actually work for me. And that's actually how I got most of my armbars in the beginning, was I would go the opposite way. And instead of setting it up normal, I would throw my legs the opposite way. And then I would armbar them that way. And I remember I taught a class on it. When I became a blue belt, I had to teach a no-gi class, and I taught people, like, oh, if you go the wrong way, this mm-hmm. is what you do. And then everyone was like, Brittany, you're messing with my brain. I can't figure it out that way. And I was like, that's just how it worked for me, though. Like, I didn't, mm-hmm. my brain didn't register to go the way that you're supposed to, so I made it work to go the opposite way.
Yeah, if you needed it enough, you trial and error, mm-hmm. made it happen. Mm-hmm. Proof you can do anything in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. And I would say that's a higher succession rate in guard for me to go the wrong way.
Yeah, especially because people aren't used to defending it.
Yep.
Because they're like, what the hell is going on? Ah!
Yeah. So I would say that there is no wrong way. You just made it right.
That's right. That's a good way to think about jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. So, yes, I love arm bars and I could talk about them all day. What's your favorite submission?
My favorite submission only works 50% of the time because you have to be wearing a gi. Mm. Mm-hmm. Is a loop choke.
Yep.
Yes.
You figured that out pretty early on, too, though.
Very early on. Thankfully, Mike Coy, the one and only, he taught me a system from the back to set up loop chokes from basically like everywhere. A loop choke from mount, a loop choke from the back, a loop choke from triple threat, a loop choke from the guard. Like, if I can grab a collar, people know that if my two fingers come around your neck and take a little pinch on the collar, that they're in real danger.
Yeah.
And it plays really well into a whole bunch of other submissions, too.
Yes.
Because when they focus on defending the collar, everything else opens up.
Yep.
And it's like, you're either going to give me your collar and choke, which I've done close to 15 times in competition, or I'm going to set you up for a whole host of other things, which sets me up for the Americanas and the reverse triangles and things like that.
Well, that's why it's so dangerous when you're getting choked, because
you have to respect it.
Yeah.
You can't just not respect when I grab your collar.
So I've been telling a lot of white belts, specifically, like the people that I'm working on the stuff that I'm not good at with, I've been telling them exactly what I'm doing so that they can learn to defend it better and I can get better at it. And I know that one of the things that sticks out to anyone who I've told it to, because I've told it to a handful of people now, is I'm like, just think about it this way. I'm giving away my secrets right now. But think about it this way.
Blue belt secrets.
If I'm doing something to you, if I'm attacking you, I'm more than likely not going for that attack. So, like, if I'm choking you, I'm probably trying to get your arm. And if I am going for your arm, I'm probably trying to choke you. And things like that. So, like, whatever I'm attacking you, even if it's, like, let's say I'm going for a loop choke, I'm probably not going for a loop choke. I'm probably going for an arm bar.
Yes. But if the loop choke happens, you're like, oh, great.
Yeah, because like he said, when you're loop choking, everything else opens up, and typically you're going to be defending like this, opens up that space.
An arm bar.
And now I'm going to open up your arm. And if I'm going for your arm and you defend it, oh, now your neck's exposed, and now I can go for a triangle, and like things like that. So I always
tell them, that's a purple belt mentality, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
Good job.
Awesome. Yeah, I always tell people, I'm like, I'm more than likely 9 times out of 10 baiting you. Almost every single time.
Are you a masturbator?
No, that's Steve. But, yeah, I love it. I work best in, isn't that called a dilemma?
Wouldn't that be a dilemma then? I call them dilemmas.
Yeah, I think I work best in dilemmas. Because I don't like having just one thing to fall back on.
That's an evolution of people's jiu-jitsu games. Is when you can consistently set up dilemmas. And that's what makes people extremely dangerous. Because you can defend one submission, right? And they say this with takedowns too. You can defend one takedown attempt. Mm-hmm. But when you have to defend a chain of like 5 submissions or 5 takedowns, okay, so like a blue belt will be able to defend 1 or 2 things, right? A purple belt most likely is going to be able to defend like 3 or 4 things. But only the browns and blacks are going to be able to consistently defend for like attack, 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 and then sweep you in the middle of those defenses. Right. But that's what makes a good jiu-jitsu person a great jiu-jitsu person, is when they can defend multiple things at once.
Yeah.
And they understand, oh, when I'm defending this submission, I'm exposing myself to all these other submissions.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that's kind of what the difference is between me and a purple belt, is like, even though I have that mentality, I still can't execute it every time.
Mm-hmm. And I think the defense is more important than the attacks,
too. Yeah. But like, you can defend and execute everything. I can defend a lot of it, but I can't execute all of it.
Yes.
And I think that's where the difference is between me and a purple belt right now.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Because then I also know that I have that mentality, too, that if I get caught in something, like Michael's triangle, if I get caught in something, or Bon Tempo's Kimura, because those happened in the same week, and I was really salty about it. And I was like, that won't happen again. Yes. And if it does, it won't happen that way again, because I know what I did to mess up. That triangle, yep. I was so mad because I was being cocky about it, because I was in his guard. I know he's a good triangler, so shout out Michael, we love you. But I know he's good at triangles, and I was just like, I'm not going to let this bastard triangle me right now. Even though I'm in his guard, I could see his legs coming up, I could move him. I was trying to keep him stapled, and I flat out said to him, I was like, you're not going to do it. You're not going to get it.
Oh.
And then I looked away for half a second because someone on the sideline said something to me, and he shut it up, and I was like,
Oh, that's so funny.
I literally,
you deserve that.
I remember being so mad because I was like, I looked away for half a second.
That's your own damn fault.
Yep, it sure was. That's why I said it won't happen again. You may triangle me again, but it won't happen that way.
I'm gonna try to talk to you anytime you're old, Michael. Hey Brittany.
No, but I think that's like a huge compliment to him, specifically him, because I have to be 100% on my A game. I have to be paying attention to everything that he's doing or I'm going to get caught.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge compliment for him. Is like, I can't turn away for half a second or you'll catch me.
He's getting good.
Yeah.
I helped him with more triangle details this
Wonderful.
Week.
Great.
In case you're wondering.
Love it. Can't wait.
Anyways. So.
Did Johnny ever ask you about that armbar that I did to him?
I don't think so.
No. He said he would.
Oh. Okay. I'll have to ask him.
But that was a while ago. I don't even know if I remember.
So, would you say you've developed your style of jiu-jitsu around your favorite submission?
Yeah.
Or your favorite guard to set up that submission? What would be your favorite guard then?
My favorite guard is spider.
Spider guard?
Yeah.
What about nogi?
Still spider.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing with spider a lot because that's how I set up my arm bars from guard. Mm. It's, again, the baiting system. You're making me give away everything right now. What? But
we're just diving in and how to build your style and how to make jiu-jitsu fun for yourself.
Yeah, because honestly, like, I always thought, I always kind of, like, had the mentality that spider guard was more for long leg people. And the long leg people are the ones who are going to keep you more at bay with spider guard. And no one at our gym really plays spider guard, but I remember Joanna does or did a lot when she was around. And I remember thinking, like, man, I wanna be that good at spider guard someday. Like, just sometime. Because, I mean, she's a fantastic jiu-jitsu player who's fantastic at triangles, and so obviously spider guard is good for her because that's how she sets up her triangles so well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big triangle person, but I am a good baiter, so I like to set up the spider guard and just play around. And I learned some really cool details from my dad of how to make spider guard better.
Yes.
And then they're either defending the spider guard or they're defending the triangle, and I'm not going for either of those.
Right.
So
it's a dilemma.
Yes. I love playing spider. What do you like playing the most?
Well, you're making me give away my secrets. See, and I think it's good for you to give away your secrets because people will put it on you, make it harder for you to use what you like.
Yeah.
But eventually, like I am with loop chokes, like I am with butterfly guard, people know that if they're in that position, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like they know what's going to happen and they can't stop it.
Yep.
And that's when you're truly dangerous in jiu-jitsu.
And that's why I said that's what makes me different than a purple belt is I can get there. People know I'm going to try, but they don't know if I'm actually going to get it or not.
Yeah, like I don't have to hide my secrets. I will show you what I'm doing and then do it. And then you're like, how the fuck did I let that happen?
Yeah.
But my favorite guard is going to have to be, here's a curveball for you, grilled chicken guard.
I knew that.
Grilled chicken guard is my favorite because it's so fun.
So stupid.
But the thing with it is it's such an open concept guard that it blends directly into my guards that I actually use for sweeps and submissions.
Because you like butterfly.
Butterfly is what I use 100% of the time. So I start everything with grilled chicken. Okay. Sometimes it'll be close guard if I'm like resetting, but I'll go back to grilled chicken because it's like a blank canvas of a guard. I'm not committed to any certain positions when I'm in a grilled chicken guard. That's how open it is.
Do you want to explain what it is?
Yes. That's, I'm getting to that.
Okay. Because I'm like, I know what it is, but I don't think anyone else really knows what it is.
Yeah. So the grilled chicken is basically my knees are to my chest. My feet are on my opponent's chest. And my hands are either on their hands or their ankles. And it's one of those things you kind of have to see to understand. But there was the day I learned grilled chicken guard with Mike Coy. I went to the gym and I just said, hey, pass my guard to everybody I rolled with. Nobody passed my guard that day. Do you remember that day? Mm-hmm. And I didn't do anything. Only I didn't sweep them.
Only Mike did. And then Mike was like, I'll teach you how to do it.
That's right. That's right. Because we worked on it
and
together.
Then he showed me and I was like, I still can't do it.
Yes. But, shoot, I forgot what I was saying.
You were working on it with Mike.
Yeah, I was working on it with Mike. I didn't use it to sweep. You can't really use it to sweep or submit, but you can use it to set up anything that you would do to sweep or submit. Mm-hmm. So it's very good. It's very open concept. Mm-hmm. But It allows me to move my feet into any open guard. So I use the grilled chicken guard to go to butterfly a lot. Got a half butterfly to go to spider guard. I have been using that. To go to X guard, to go to De La Hiva, dive underneath my opponent.
It probably works really well. I'm thinking back to the camp and what Joe Benson taught about how you had to be like having your back to them in almost like a cuddle position, but then you're going to turn it and use your leg to go under their leg. Do you remember? A little bit? It was a long time ago.
Which seminar?
The last one. The one that Jose and Susie were at.
Okay. You're talking about the reverse scissor sweep?
No, that was at Fluid. I'm talking about the Nutri-Ground one.
That's not the last seminar we did with Joe Benson.
I was thinking about the camp.
Okay.
The Gentle Art Lifestyle Camp. Sorry.
Yes, yes.
But
the back step.
Yeah, it was the back step, but then he did it where, like, he had his back to them, and then he turned in, and, like, he did. Okay, anyway. I'm just thinking that that would work really well with that one.
Yes, but most of my guards all funnel back to butterfly anyways, because that's where my strongest sweeps submissions are. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't use butterfly to submit that much. I use butterfly to set up X guards and arm bars and triangles and omoplatas.
Everything.
And the chokes. But so, butterfly is most powerful because I sweep directly to mount.
Yeah. So what would you say is your favorite dilemma then?
Triple threat. Mm-hmm. It's the loop choke, Americana, armbar, triangle, reverse triangle dilemma. There's like five things going on there.
Yep.
And inverse armbar is also in that same dilemma.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
Yes. But how did you develop your game that funnels into what you like? Like, how was it that you identified, I like these things, I'm going to work my techniques to funnel to these things?
I think it comes back down to what I had already said about how I didn't see it for a long time. And then when I finally started seeing it, I remember just having that feeling like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like,
yes.
Because it was just like a switch flipped where like you had no idea what the hell was going on in any of your roles. And then out of nowhere, you kind of picked it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And now, like the other day, we were in Muay Thai and I jumped up on his shoulders to do something. And I immediately just went for an arm with my legs. Like I just took an
second
underhook.
Nature.
Yeah. And I got back down and I was like, didn't mean to do that. And then... like that roll that we had, like I didn't set up that armbar, it just happened because I found the arm. And
yeah.
So now it's just like second nature for me to just like, oh, a limb, I'm going to take it.
Yes.
And so I think it was just super cool to be able to have that flip switch or that switch flip mm-hmm. switch where you're just like, okay, I went from knowing nothing to like kind of knowing something. And it's pretty cool. It's a really cool feeling. So once I found like that feeling, that I guess that high that you get.
Yeah, I was going to say you get a dopamine rush.
Yeah.
With things that you learn and you can execute and you do it over and over.
Yeah.
It builds that habit of dopamine rushes when
yeah.
you get to the final moment of
right.
that sequence.
Because I'm going to be honest, I don't feel that way with a lot of other submissions. Like if I had Kimura'd someone last week and I was just like.
That's boring.
Yeah. Oh, like that wasn't that exciting for me.
This is lame.
I don't get Kimuras very often.
That submission sucks.
I don't really go for them very often, but I remember like doing the Kimura and like in the process of doing the Kimura, I was like, I would so much rather be doing an armbar right now. Like I literally remember thinking that and I was like, why do I not feel this way with anything else? The only other one that I get a little bit of a high on is loop chokes because I just think they're super fun. But
bow and arrows.
Yeah. Bone
it's
arrows.
Like a rush.
So yeah, I don't know what it is about the arm bar, but I think it's just like I finally found my niche that I'm getting good at. I'm not going to say I'm great at them because obviously I'm only a blue belt and I know I have a lot to learn and a lot to work on, but like it's definitely my highest rated submission, and the better that I get at them, the better I feel about them, and mm-hmm. I'm honestly just like really excited to just keep learning.
It's like a snowball.
Yeah.
Keep building.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I love that. So because I found out how much I like arm bars, and I had already talked about this, like a lot of people learn it from the guard. Part of my game was starting to be like, okay, well, where else can I do them?
Exactly.
What else can I do besides just being in the guard? Because, like I said, people defend them from the guard very well. Mm-hmm. Like, you tuck your elbow, it's gone. It's done. You have to go for something else now.
Yes.
So I had to develop my game around figuring out how else to get arm bars. And
that's
why I started setting up dilemmas from guard, because that's the only way I can get them now. Or just going from a completely different position. And, like, I'm doing them from everywhere. Mm-hmm. You put me in reverse mount and I will literally attack your leg now because I can't get your arm. Like, I'll go for a knee bar. And knee bars are the second thing that I'm working on.
The arm bar of the sea. Mm-hmm. You agreed to that?
Sure.
Wow.
Whatever you want to say.
Yes.
But that's why I like knee bars, is because it's just a giant arm bar.
Yes. Absolutely. So you brought up an important thing there, is you did arm bars so much that it was second nature and you understood, like, the mechanics of an arm bar, right? Most of the arm bars that you get today are not arm bars you've ever been taught in class. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. So what's important with developing your game is more so understanding the concepts of what moves that you are gravitating towards. So the concept of the arm bar is lock the shoulder, lock the wrist, break the elbow. And it doesn't matter if you hold the shoulder with your arms, doesn't matter if you hold the shoulder with your knees, doesn't matter what you hold the wrist with either. All that matters is you hold, and break. And that's basic mechanics of an armbar. Basic mechanics of a loop choke is you need to have one artery close off here, the other artery close off here, and break the posture of the neck. And not allow them to extend up and out, and not allow them to create space on their arteries.
Yeah.
So that concept you can find from millions of places. And that's why half the loop chokes I do in competition, like the one I have on my Twitter, the one that I did at my last purple belt competition, is where my foot came out like backwards. Remember that weird ass loop choke?
Yep.
And it was just enough pressure on the back of the head, and then I could pull the collar a bit. Mm-hmm. Because if he was able to extend himself, he would have made space. But since his neck was compressed, your arteries come out when your neck is compressed, mm-hmm. and you choke faster.
Yep.
Or you strangle faster. So understanding the concepts and the mechanics of what you are trying to do. So like butterfly sweep, I always talk about, you've got a bowl in your hips. You're trying to rock them at a 45 degree angle. It's not like, okay, get this grip, put your foot here, switch your hips. That's your sweep. It's like, understand that you're dumping them off of you. You're picking your hips up over your hips, mm-hmm. and you're going to dump them some way, somehow.
And just the way that you're explaining that right now, like, I think that's kind of what makes the difference between a good teacher and a great teacher, is that they can put it in layman's terms where everyone can understand. So, like, I know for sure, especially you, like, I'm actually doing this because of you right now, whenever you teach a loop choke, because I've been in your class when you teach loop chokes plenty of times, mm-hmm. and every time you do it, you always say, answer the phone. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, like, a really cool way for someone to really, like, understand what's happening and a little bit more of the concept behind it. Because you always tell them, like, well, you're not just, like, picking up your hand. You're, like, literally going close to your... And, like, the way that Josh says it is elbows home. Mm-hmm. Like, I've developed that quite a bit, especially in this class. Like, when I'm telling people something, I'm, like, whenever someone says, like, keep your elbows tight, I'm like, no, you bring your elbows home. Like, yes. Think about bringing them home. And that seems to help a lot of people. So when you can explain things like that, it helps people understand the concepts more. And I think that's what's so beneficial about private lessons, is that they explain things so that you understand it.
Yes.
And not just like to a big giant group of people.
Right. I think that's a huge value for sure. Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of people really appreciate private lessons.
Yeah.
As silly as that sounds, it's true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just think about it. If you're trying to work on one specific thing and you're not getting it, someone can probably help you figure out that one thing based on how mm-hmm. you need to learn it.
And if you're trying to work on triangles, your triangle curriculum in the class isn't going to come up for another, you know, couple weeks or months. You don't know when the curriculum is coming unless you, some schools have set curriculums like that, but you know, it's always up in the air. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll wait until they do triangles again to get make a triangle better.
Right.
Private lessons will help that for you right now, today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
But anyway, so we talked about your favorite dilemma. Another thing I wanted to talk about that I forgot to when we were talking about the wedding was, so you had asked me what helped you develop your game and mm-hmm. like why you like to do the things that you do. And this is going to get a little dark, so sorry about that. But I think one of the biggest things about being a female in this sport, in this day and age, with how much exposure you have in the world with social media and just things like that, like, women are targeted a little bit more, which is the rate I have talked about this in past podcasts, that the reason I started jiu-jitsu is because I was afraid of sex trafficking, and I wanted to know how to defend myself. Well, if something, God forbid, happens to you, as a female specifically, you're probably going to be on your back with your legs spread open. And so that's technically why I play guard so much, because I now know how to be dangerous on my back with my legs open. Mm-hmm. And like, that sounds really bad, but if I'm ever in a bad situation to the point where maybe I am being raped or something like that, I can confidently say that I would be okay.
Yes.
And that they would not be.
Unless he's getting raped by like a brown belt, which is just not going to happen. No,
I don't think that's ever going to happen. Hopefully not. But anyway, so like, that's kind of what set me up in starting to learn my arm bars from guard a little bit better and different, is that if one way doesn't work, then you have to have something to back it up with. Because not everything that you try against an attacker is going to work on the first try. And if it doesn't, are you going to waste all of your energy and your strength and your ability to be able to do anything on the first hit? Or are you going to go to your second thing and mm-hmm. try what's working there? And so I remember at the wedding, we were at the bachelorette party, and we're all just kind of sitting on the couches and just hanging out and talking. And one of the girls was just like, "You're really fit. Like, what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I train jiu-jitsu." And she was like, "What's that?" And they all just got like super excited. And there was 12 of us there. And they were just like, "What do you do in jiu-jitsu?" And I was like, "Well, it's a self-defense technique." And they were just like, "Can you show us stuff?" And I was like, "What?" And they were like, "Yeah, you gotta show us stuff." And like, literally 6 or 7 of them got up. They took the couches, they pushed them all the way to the end of the wall and like made this big open space. And they were just like, "Show us stuff." And I was like, "What?
Why didn't you get a picture of your seminar?"
Mariah recorded it.
Oh.
Yeah, Mariah recorded the whole thing, actually. So, Mariah, you should send that to me. But anyway, so I decided to teach all of these girls. I was like, "Well, what am I supposed to show these inexperienced females who know nothing about jiu-jitsu? Like, they didn't even know what it was until right now." So I was like, "I can't show them anything crazy."
Should have showed them X Guard. No, De La Hiva.
Yeah. Tariqa Plata.
Yes.
Yeah. But so I was like, "Okay, well, let's show them, you know, if you're standing up and someone's pushing you." So I wanted to show them a standing wrist lock.
Yeah.
So I had one of the girls like push me and clap their arm and went for the elbow and showed them a wrist lock. They loved that. They thought it was so fun.
They had to go home and break all their boyfriend's wrists.
Two of the girls tell me, they're like, "I did it." And I was like, "Okay, great. Don't do that to people." And then I was like, "Okay, well," they were like, "What else do you have?" And I was like, I remember one of the girls asked me, she was like, "Well, what do you do if you're being choked?" And I was like, "Well, how are you being choked?" And she was like, "What?"
I don't know.
And I was like, "There's a lot of different ways that you can be choked, and there's a lot of different ways to get out of it. So, like, how are you being choked?" And then she was like, "I don't know." So we went over rear naked.
Okay.
We went over the basic concepts of a choke, what the blood arteries are doing, and everything like that. And then we went over how to, like, execute a rear naked better. And then they all had fun with that, too. And then they were just, and then I got really excited because then I started nerding out. And I was just like, "If you want, I can show you how to do that with your legs." And they were just like, "Oh, yeah." So then I showed them a triangle. And this was the point of me getting to this, is I was showing them a triangle. And I know just from past experience working with new girls at the gym that they get very uncomfortable being on their back with their legs open with mm-hmm. a person that they don't know. Especially a guy. Like, they're uncomfortable with a girl, but they're really uncomfortable with a guy. And I had to explain to all of them, as I was laying on my back and my legs were open because I was sitting in the guard, and I had to tell them, I'm like, "I mean, this is what's going to happen if you're being raped, right?" And they're all just like, "Yeah." And I said, "Does anyone know how to protect yourself if you're in this vulnerable position right now?" And everyone's just like, "No." I'm like, "Okay, let me show you." And I showed them a triangle, and like, all of their faces were just like in complete disbelief of what just happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, "That's like the most basic I can get from here. But like, if something bad is happening to you, you have to know how to get out of it." And they were all just mesmerized. They loved it. They wanted to try it. They were having so much fun. And then one of them was like, "Do something really cool and fancy." I was like, "What do I even show?" And then I was like, "I don't want to do something super fancy and cool and whatever and then have to explain this all to them, because I don't want to do that." And we were on hardwood floor. Like, there was an area rug that we were on, and that was okay. It. So I was like, we're not going to do like a hip toss or a throw or anything. We're just going to be on the floor. And so I was like, okay, fine. So I just did an omoplata. Did not teach them what it was. I just showed them. I was like, this is an omoplata. And then I was like, moving back to the triangle. Because I knew in an unexperienced person's brain that an omoplata looked really cool.
Yes.
Even though it's not that fancy.
It is super fancy.
Is it?
Omoplatas are super underrated. Try omoplatas. They work everywhere for everything. You sweep, you submit, you hold them down, it's a guard,
you do anything. So yeah, I showed them an omoplata to be fancy. But my whole point of this story was, like, I got to show the girls in Pennsylvania a little bit about jiu-jitsu. I think I got a couple of them to want to look into gyms in their area. There's 5 different states of girls represented in that room, which was super cool. Mm-hmm. We had Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and California.
Dang.
There's one other one, too, but I can't remember right now. But anyway, we had people from all over the nation in that one room that I was teaching jiu-jitsu to, and it was really cool. And I think that being able to show them in a real-life scenario that if you are in a vulnerable position like that, you should be able to know how to defend yourself. And I think that that was one of the coolest things that I've ever been able to do, is to be able to, like, change some of their lives.
Cheers to that.
About that.
Jiu-jitsu changed lives.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, that was, like, a little long of a story, but
that's okay.
It was a really cool experience, and that kind of leads into why I play off my back so much, is I want to know how to defend myself.
Yeah. That helped you build your style, hey? Mm-hmm. Yeah, another way that helped me build my style is, that, granted, it takes a grain of salt because I compete a lot, so there's a lot of times I train competition style, and I'm like, I'm going to dominate this match as much as I can to get ready for competition. But when I'm not competing, which is maybe like, I don't know, half of the year I'm not competing or not training for competition, my number one goal when I play jiu-jitsu is to play and have fun. And you can definitely see that in my style. Like when I play with Donkey Guard, when I'm like spinning around, I just like invert for no reason, try stupid sweeps, or try to like cartwheel past people. That's me just having fun on the mats and also doing jiu-jitsu at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that really developed my style, is just having fun. But you'll see that when I'm training for competition, that jiu-jitsu is very different than when I'm like having fun doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, when you're in competition, it's more like fundamentals.
It's just definitely fundamentals, yes.
Just amped up.
It's like the beginner curriculum. Like, all 12 weeks, that's my one role.
Yeah.
That is my competition style, actually.
Yeah, it's not like you're just going to go and invert on a competition mat and be like, I'm going to play like this now.
Yeah. I'm not that comfortable at Nucky Guard. I'm no Jeff Glover.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that is kind of what develops our game, too, is, I mean, I know you had bad knee issues when you were a blue belt. Mm-hmm. I have terrible knee issues right now. Megan Wagner has terrible knee issues, and so, like, that's kind of why we all, this is also playing off your back, but that's why we invert so much, because yes, then we don't have to be on our knees.
Yeah.
And that really, I guess, is another reason I started playing on my back so much, is because yes, I learned how to be on my shoulders so often in the mat that now I just backflip and do things upside down all the time, that
yes,
that's how I just have fun, and I don't have to put the pressure on my knees.
And that's why I do so many standing guard passes, is because my knees are shot from kneeling, and, like, for a very long time, I did my wrestling shots so terribly bad that I was just dropping to my knees. And my judo was dropping to my knees. And that was not a good idea.
No.
And I do knee slices a lot and, like, headquarters passing. But that's from, like, standing. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing a lot of passing on my knees where I'm putting heavy pressure down on my knees.
Yeah. But yeah, I think
so that's developed, yeah.
The injuries, just injuries in general. I think we've done an entire episode on how injuries can enhance your jiu-jitsu, because you have to learn how to work around them. You either quit or you learn how to work around them. That's your only two options.
Yeah.
So I would say that our knee injuries are definitely what pushed us to have the style that we do.
Yeah. And our style, like I said, is somewhat similar, but it's definitely not the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not. But we do clash a lot.
Yes.
Because I think we're both trying to do the same thing, but opposite directions.
Yeah, I have to shut down what you're doing a lot. I have to put a lot of effort into doing jiu-jitsu with you. So I don't get armbarred or whatever.
I remember the other day, you were trying to, like, stand past my guard, and I just kept trying to hook you everywhere that you went. I just kept hooking you, like, you're getting really good. You were very irritated, I could tell.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Like, I can't let you pass my guard. But yeah, did you have any other questions on your mind?
We talked about guards and submissions.
Dilemmas.
Yeah, but I was gonna ask what your favorite position is. Also, that's probably the other thing that's like specific to people. They have a specific submission. They have specific guard. And a specific position they like the funnel things to.
Yeah. So submission is armbar. Guard is
Spider.
So being in the guard, basically. And then I would say position. Just because we'd already talked about how being in a guard, a lot of people know how to defend their limbs pretty well in a guard. And so I always have to transition out of a guard when things don't work. And I typically end up in, it's not so much side control, but it's not so much triple threat. It's more like my knee is underneath your shoulder now. Does that make sense?
So like S-mount style?
Kind of. So like imagine being in side control, but they're lifted up and turned away from you. But it's not all the way up on their side.
But you're
like
not a triple threat. Okay.
And then I like to staple that same side arm too.
Is your leg over them?
Mm-mm. It's under.
So your other leg? What? On their hips?
Mm-mm.
Where's your hip side leg?
It's basically a side control. Think about a side control.
Yeah.
But it's not keeping my pressure down on them in a side control.
It's rolling them away from you like a snowplow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where I end up all the time.
Yeah. Side control with people facing away from you.
Yeah.
Best so way to describe it.
I always say it's triple threat, but it's not triple threat.
Yeah, because your leg's not over them.
Mm-hmm. But that's how I set up a lot of things. That's how I'll go into knee on belly. That's how I'll go into reverse mount. That's how I'll go into regular mount. That's how I go into S mount. That's how I go into an arm bar setup. That's how I'll go into a Kimura. That's how I'll set up everything from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to transition from the spider to there.
So you sweep them?
Sometimes. Because what I used to do...
Because you're not doing side control in the bottom.
No.
So you sweep them from spider.
Yeah.
And get up to side control.
Or I stand up in the guard and pass their guard.
That's a sweep.
Sure.
If you're on your back and you end up on top of them, no matter what steps you did in between, that's a sweep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what I used to do, and I still do it, but my knees are really messed up, so I don't do it as often, is I would be in a guard, and then as they're trying to pass my guard, I roll up with them into a turtle. And then as they're trying to break my turtle, yep. Invert, and then I'll end up back in a guard, and then I'll just keep doing that. I'll go from guard to turtle to invert to guard to turtle to invert, and I just did that a lot. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
And now my knees are really bad. So I don't do that as much anymore.
I used to turtle a lot, too.
Yeah. So now I play spider, sweep, and then turn into a side control. That's kind of what my new transition is.
My turtle is there for like a quarter of a second, and it transitions immediately to stick. I no longer turtle, I only stick.
It was funny because you had to have taught Justin that, right?
I've showed them that.
Yeah, yes. So you showed Justin, and then it was a Thursday. Justin's not there, and Sam literally goes, she looks at me, she's like, what's a stick? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, I don't know, Justin was talking about a stick. And I was like, oh, that's him working with Nick. And my dad was right there, and he just started laughing. He's like, they come up with names for anything nowadays. I was like, yeah, but the stick worked really well. And my dad's like, what's the stick? And I was like, I'm not telling you.
That's so funny. It's so funny because I taught that defensive BJJ, and what I taught was the running man, and I taught Preet's turtle, and I taught a little bit of the hawking, and I showed the stick for maybe less than 30 seconds. I was like, there's this position, it's called the stick, it looks like this, it's really dumb, but like...
It works really well.
We can get into that if you guys like defensive stuff, but anyways, blah, 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 blah.
Where did you show that?
6 a.m. class. Huh. I showed some defensive BJJ after the seminar. But yeah, I showed the stick for like less than 30 seconds. And people are like, oh my god, the stick! I was like, I have used the stick against Brett though.
Nice.
And I use it against Bon Tempo a lot.
Yeah.
It's my preferred way to sweep bigger people.
Yep. It's a fun one.
Anyways. Yeah, so that's your favorite position.
Yeah, what's yours?
Oh, I can do that. My favorite position, and it used to be just being on the back, which I do love, but right now it's being tied with, I don't even know what to call it, because it's half mount and half knee on belly.
See, we're both in ways that we're like, I don't know what it is. I just like being there.
Yes, but I like being on top, and I'm using my butterfly hooks to either control you no matter where your legs are. So, like, it's mount if your legs are beneath my legs.
I've been there.
And
with you.
Yes, but I call it kind of like a neon belly mount when your legs are in the way, but my mount is still on top of you, mm-hmm. and your legs are pinned under my legs.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? Yep. So it's not neon belly. Mm-hmm. It's not mount, but it's like I'm holding it like I would a neon belly and a mount.
I would say it's a neon belly.
Yeah, even though it's on your legs? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you're just keeping control, but you're also, instead of just keeping control of the top half, you're also keeping control of the bottom half at the same time. Right. But I would say if we had to, that it's a neon belly.
Yeah.
Just like we would say mine is a side control.
Yep. And most times you're also faced away from me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes. And then since your legs are so tied up, I can use my top half of my body to open up chokes or your upper body limbs to wrestle against. I don't know what the hell is going on with my words.
It's 2 weeks off. It's really getting to us.
Yes. But yeah, that's a weird position that I've been loving. And it's just like stapling from the top. Mm-hmm. Staple their arms, staple their legs, staple their hips, staple their neck. It's great. Great position that I try to funnel things to.
Yeah, it's fun.
It opens up so much because people get so frustrated.
Yeah, it sucks when you're there. You don't like it.
That's what I've been teaching at 6 a.m. for the last couple weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
When is Mike coming back? Do you know?
No.
Okay. Cool.
I'm not good enough. I would much rather learn from Mike than me, so I get it.
Yeah,
but I would say, in order to develop your own jiu-jitsu game and your own style, because that's a really hard thing for white belts to do, right? They're always like, man, I want to be like this, or I want to be like that, or how do I make what's my jiu-jitsu, right? And I would say the first step to that is understanding your favorite position, where you want to get to, understanding your favorite guard, and how to get to whatever position you want to get to, and then work towards your favorite submission, because inevitably, you have to start somewhere with submissions, and the one that you enjoy the most, that you find the most often, is where you should start with developing a submission game, because mm-hmm. you're not going to be good at every submission that's possible.
No, I suck at guillotines. Suck at them.
And granted, there are ways to make everybody's guillotine better, right? But if you don't enjoy going for guillotines all the time, you're not going to put your time and effort into developing your guillotine game.
Same with north-south choke. They're basically the same, just different positions.
Yes, but you are going to develop your armbar game still, even though it's good. You're going to make it better and better because you just love, you get that dopamine rush mm-hmm. when you get an armbar.
Yep.
So that's a good way to develop your jiu-jitsu game. Understand those three parts and trying to blend them together and connect them.
Yeah.
And understand the concepts of them.
Yeah. The other big thing, too, as a white belt is to figure out, on top of like what you like, but also, as I just said, I'm terrible at chokes with guillotines and north-south. So you work on those with people who are not as experienced as you. We tell the kids that all the time because, you know, kids just want to beat each other up as much as they possibly can. But we always have to constantly tell the older kids, we're like, hey, the younger kids is where you should start developing that game that you just don't know how to do yet. Like, things that you're not confident in, the things that you know you wouldn't win in a competition, like, those are the things you should be working on with the younger kids.
Yes.
Then they can learn how to defend it, and you can learn how to make it better.
Yep.
And it's a win-win for both of you.
Absolutely.
I try to go for stuff like that all the time. Not guillotines, but North. I've been playing with North-South a little bit. A little, tiny, tiny bit.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I know I suck at it. But I wouldn't do it with, like, you or
right.
Von Tempo or people who know north-south joke. Like, I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, the other tangent of that is if you're getting submitted by one thing over and over, dump some resources into learning how to do that yourself so that you can defend it better when people are doing it on you. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have this problem with Kimuras where everybody catches me in Kimuras. So I've been practicing a lot more Kimuras so I can understand how people are getting Kimuras so I can defend it better.
Yeah, that seems like a common thread at Fluid if people are getting caught in Kimuras. Who's doing Kimuras?
I don't know. Everybody?
It's like Devin is getting caught in them a lot. You're getting caught in them a lot. I've been getting caught in a couple of Kimuras too.
Charles Harriet Kimura'd me over and over. And that's burned into my brain. So.
Okay.
There's that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's mostly people from other schools that are comoring me.
Gotcha. Well.
Yes.
This is a fun talk. We went a little over than we normally do, but makes up for last week, I guess.
A little bit, yeah. But
did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask?
Not specifically. And also, we kind of ran out of time.
Yeah. Those were fun, though. Like, you should think about what your favorite guard is, what your favorite position is.
I was going to say, put it in the comments.
Yeah.
You know, what is your favorite guard? What's your favorite submission or your favorite position?
Yeah.
And, yeah. What would you describe your style as?
And if you don't know it, if you don't know what they are yet, you should figure that out.
Yes.
Because if you don't know it, that means that your game is probably not developed enough to be able to enhance it. So once you can figure it out, then you can really start to be dangerous.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And that's what being a white belt about.
And then get so good at those things that they can't stop you even when they know it's coming.
Yep.
I know some people like that.
Mm-hmm. So, All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And we should be on next week. I don't think we have anything next Sunday. Let's double check really quick. Make sure. Nope, we're good next Sunday. Unless we're camping.
We'll figure it out.
So
yeah.
You'll hear from us soon.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Hope you have a great week. Yes. We'll talk to you later. Adios.